All right, guys, Edge of Indies here with a 3 for 3 segments. We're interviewing Red the Steakhouse. That's fantastic. We got Paul Poteet. We got Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, as well as Random Acts of Flowers. I think those two go together, especially if you can actually embrace the Indianapolis steak connection. We're doing all this today on The Edge.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
And there absolutely is a connection here. This theme today is beautiful Indianapolis and steak. Right. I mean, all that wrapped up into one big bow. That's what we're talking about here at Edge of Indy. But actually, the entire concept of Edge of Indy is really focused about local businesses, local entrepreneurs, people that are shaking up Indianapolis for the good, movers, shakers, people. We feature people and organizations that are out there helping make Indianapolis an awesome place to live and visit. So you're learning about this regularly at Edge of Indy. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who have not seen the show before, we're doing a live stream every 3 p.m. here on Facebook, and we're going to be in other channels as well here soon. But the whole focus is choosing local Indianapolis and choosing often. That's what Edge of Indy is all about. So I want to introduce our guest, and at the top of the list, we have Peter Votee, Corporate Executive Chef and Managing Partner of Red the Steakhouse. Thank you so much. I am honored to meet you.
My pleasure.
He comes bearing gifts.
He does.
And he brought us incredible steak delicacies. We've got sliders. Peter, tell me about the steak. Oh, well, tell me about the sliders, man. What's going on here?
Well, no good chef comes without gifts. So just remember that. This morning, I give you guys a little bit of certified Angus beef prime filet sliders, a little brioche bun, a little bit of arugula in there. Oh, you can't miss it. It's great. It's just a little bite. I would have came and grilled out for you guys, wow, but didn't know what your grill situation was here at the studio.
Actually, oddly enough, we have a pretty nice grill situation here. Can I get camera 3 to kind of zoom in on this beautiful, beautiful piece of meat? Okay. we really appreciate it. And I've got affinity towards steak, as I think everybody knows here. And, it's a beautiful thing. So can we look at that? Look at that. Look at that. Oh, look at that.
Mm. I knew as soon as I saw that they were opening up here in India, I knew we had to have them on the show.
Absolutely. So I won't take a bit. I can't eat the bread because of the carb thing. But, talk some work yourself.
So tell us a little bit about Red the Steakhouse.
I was chef for the company, and we decided to do a little different concept. Steakhouses were hot at the time.
Yep.
And opened up our first location, which was very, very small at the time. And by some weird stroke of nature, we are our second location happened to be in Miami Beach. As being the only unencumbered partner at the time, I moved to Miami Beach, and we've kind of expanded from there. And Indy came on our list of places we needed to go.
Awesome. So where does the name Red the Steakhouse, where did that come from?
Well, we tossed a lot of names around, and then someone that was working on the project with us said, started talking, writing things down, saying about red meat and red wine, and that kind of flowed into, we want something very concise, and red kind of popped out there. Mm-hmm. That's that great color of steak when you cut into it, that red and the marbling and things like that. So it stuck, and we kind of took it and ran with it.
And in fact, let's double down on that.
Aaron's face is like, oh, amen. You're preaching to the choir.
Well, honestly, I got to say, I've come across a couple of scenarios where I've overheard steaks being ordered well done. And it's sacrilege. It is truly sacrilege. So actually embodying the concept of a medium rare steak and that red connection. I mean, you've got me as a loyalist for life. What's your thoughts about well done steaks?
I think, how you order your meat is like kind of where you worship. Okay? If you want to worship then the well-done range, that's fine, but don't make me come and worship with you.
Literally, I've known chefs that have actually walked out and flat out refused to cook a beautiful piece of meat well done. I know you have the public to appeal, but...
Steaks are, to each his own.
Do they deserve the steak if they order it well done? That's what I'm saying.
If your credit card clears, eat it any way you want.
Aaron, I don't think I've told you this story before, but along the red meat lines, we had a review. I don't know if it was like a 3-year review or something. So we went out to a local steakhouse for it to celebrate or whatever. And so we each ordered steak. We each both ordered medium rare. And so I'm cutting into my steak, and it's a little too rare for me.
Right.
It was pretty rare. And so I was like, but I can't send a steak back in front of Aaron. I can't send this back. And so I'm eating it. It was pretty rare. Mm-hmm. And then you start cutting in your steak, and you're like, oh, this is too rare for me. And you send your steak back after I ate mine.
That is funny.
I was like, I'm not sending a steak back.
Well, it's like haircutting. I mean, no offense, Peter. It's like haircutting. I mean, you can get it cut a little bit. But I mean, if you cut it too much, you can never get it back, right? It's like cooking steak. Yep. You can undercook it and be able to adjust it, but you can't not cook a steak back to a rare.
Unfortunately, that is the case.
That is the case. So it's an art form. It absolutely is. Anyway, sorry not to focus on that, but I literally it is a bane of my existence.
This is true.
I totally understand that. It's I cringe sometimes when we have one of our very high end steaks and someone comes in and says, well done. And I was like, oh, well, if that's how you, that's your decision to make, you know, and I usually will go to the table and give them a little bit of a warning that it's going to taste like an old shoe. That's
exactly.
The shoe you want. That's
you have
get.
The ability to replace it with a piece of shoe leather at that point in time. They won't know the difference. Just kidding. So you got two locations in Cleveland and one in Florida. What made you choose Indy for your fourth location?
We started looking for our locations, and we kind of have a lot of Midwestern roots in our restaurant group, and it seemed appropriate that Indianapolis, with its affinity for steak and steakhouses, and the fact that we just do things a little bit differently, we thought it was a great match for our blueprint, and I think it's going to be.
Cool. Very cool. I mean, yeah, we're seeing such great quality steakhouses come around as well. I mean, just over the last 2 to 3 years, it's been amazing. So, I mean, kudos to you for making that choice. You were named, this is fantastic, you were named one of America's sexiest steakhouses.
That is very true.
It just flows off the tongue right there, to be honest with you. So what makes Red the Steakhouse so different from the other indie steakhouses?
Well, I think our background for the chefs in the company and the chef that I've trained is it's a very classical background. We don't take any sort of concessions on quality at all. Starting with our steaks, we are serving certified Angus beef prime for our steaks, which is the top 1% of all USDA graded cattle. So it starts there, and everything goes up, you know, after that. It's the little things that we do. All my locations are expecting a drop off of fresh king crab this afternoon at some point.
You're killing me, Smokes.
Yeah. Do we have that picture of what I think I have? Yeah, I think you see it right there, the king crab there.
Look at
I think
this.
There's another one there that has.
Oh,
there it is. Look at that.
Lord.
It's huge.
You have a wonderful job.
I do have a wonderful job. I love that. I mean, I spent a season kind of cooking or fishing in Alaska. And once I saw a fresh king crab, and years later, I was like, wait a minute, this exists. Mm-hmm. I have to track it down. So a dozen phone calls later, I found out where it is. And when fresh king crab season comes around, we're on it. And so everyone right now is probably opening a box of Bering Sea Gold, which I call it. And it's my personal opinion, it's one of the finest things to come out of the ocean.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Absolutely.
So what else makes it sexy?
The filet of the sea.
We kind of interrupted there with the king crab thing. So
I think our environment, I mean, one thing about steakhouses, at least in the past, was they were very male dominated environments. Mm-hmm. Ours are a little more sexy, a little bit lighter. We've got some features in there, a lot of a kind of it's exposed stainless. We have a Cortan steel, which is kind of aged outside on the walls. Mm. The menu has a great array of steaks, of course, mm-hmm. but our seafood, as you were talking about the king crab, is on point. Our fish comes in fresh. You know, there's times that I get stuff that's fresh off the boat and then mm-hmm. have it, you know, shipped up, you know, whole tuna, things like that. So mm-hmm. we really concentrate on fresh quality ingredients. Nothing's frozen. We make everything in-house. So if you come in and say, chef, what's not made in-house? And I say, well, there's one thing, that's ketchup. That's about it. Everything else is made right in the location,
cool.
fresh to order. And I think that's really kind of separates us apart in the markets we've been in.
Yeah.
You know what would set you even more apart? Don't offer ketchup.
I have no choice about that. That's a staple.
That's an atrocity. If you actually see somebody put ketchup on their steak.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with you there.
Oh, my gosh.
You shouldn't need anything for your steak.
No, absolutely not. And hey, well, we saw that you're using your grandmother's meatball recipe and red sauce recipe and your dad's green beans recipe and a cheesecake recipe from a New York Italian market. That's fantastic.
Well, you know, being a chef has changed a lot since I got out of high school. It wasn't even an option. It was, you know, it was a trade, or you go to a trade school for that. Is that things changed over the course of time and Food Network became so popular. You can have me back on another time about what I think about Food Network, and I'm happy to tell you. and throughout my life, and food's been a big part of my family, both my father's side and my mother's. And as I picked up these things along the way, it kind of flowed into my career as being a chef. So the cheesecake is one of my favorite stories. My great-grandmother would take me to this little Italian market, and in the 70s, let's say, I'm telling how old I am, the gentleman who owned it was retiring and closing the market, and he said, here's the recipe. He gave me a piece of paper. I was four. And for some reason, that recipe stayed among my possessions, and when I became a chef, I was like, there it is. We're ready to go. And very basic, but it's the best cheesecake you're ever going to have.
I love a good cheesecake.
Everyone should love a good cheesecake.
I know, right? It's my daughter's favorite too, and she's 10 months old. You should see her face when we gave her her first bite of cheesecake. It was so cute.
All right, so let's dig in deeper on talking about food here. What are some of the more favorite dishes that you have over at Red the Steakhouse?
Our cream corn has become something that's been legendary, for lack of a better word. When you have it, you're going to say, well, what else is in here, chef? And I'm going to say it's corn and cream. That's all should be in a cream corn. Our corn comes in fresh, of course. We take it off the cob with a knife. We use the corn cobs and make a corn cream out of that. And those are kind of folded together. A little bit of breadcrumbs on top, cornbread breadcrumbs on top of that. And you have one of our signature items. And other ones are mac and cheese. Because I can't do anything the regular way, I have to be more difficult and make my chefs scream and cry. we bring four Italian cheeses to the mix for our mac and cheese. You have Parmesan, Pecorino, Fontina, and not any regular Fontina, Fontina Valdosta, the original Fontina, and Raclette, which is a Italian and Swiss mountain cheese. You fold all those together and bake that off, and you've got one of the best mac and cheeses you're ever going to have. And of course, if you want to go even crazier than that, you could either add lobster or king crab to that if you really want to kind of kick it up a notch. So as we were discussing menus today, my chef and I, you know, of course, because everyone loves bacon, the bacon mac and cheese is going to be coming on board very, very soon.
We had an entire bacon theme last show, and I want to continue it. Every show, we should be absolutely referring to bacon in one way, shape, or form. So thank you very much for contributing into that.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, International Bacon Day is coming up. We'll have an entire bacon menu we'll be working on at that time.
When is that? I know it exists, but when is it? Because we literally have to celebrate.
I believe it's sometime the end of August. Off the top of my head, I can't give you an exact date, but
Tom's got it.
Well, there you go.
We got the Google. September 2nd.
There you go.
September 2nd is bacon.
It's actually a Google featured snippet about it.
That is a beautiful thing.
It's so popular.
So if you want to come and have some bacon madness, we will be doing that, including bacon-wrapped tater tots, bacon donuts, and bacon-wrapped steaks and things like that. So we'll be doing that in a ridiculous way like we do everything at Red.
Why does everything you say make me happy? I'm just so excited.
Maybe you missed lunch. I don't know.
I had a salad. That's my point.
That's your problem.
Hey, so Devour Indie is just around the corner, and you are doing a 3 for $39 special. So, what are some of the options for that special?
We're giving a wide array of our menu for that event, and we have things that are going on that are just going to be, we're going to feature our steaks. We're going to feature our wild salmon. We're going to feature some of our signature items. We're going to feature, we make fresh donuts every morning, for example. So, and we cook them off, at night. So we're going to have an opportunity for everyone to come in and experience Red at its pinnacle, because that's what you need to do, because that's how people come back.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's coming up, and that's coming up real soon.
Yeah, it's August 21st. pulling up their website here. So
yeah, we're all ready to go. We've kind of worked the menu out already, and we're ready to do it.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. So tell us about your champagne and oysters on Thursday. Oh, my gosh, this is incredible.
So champagne and oysters on Thursday. You can come and get $1 oysters, clams, mussels, deals on champagne. So, you know, in the afternoon, had a long day, you come down there and we're going to be featuring Veuve Clicquot as our champagne sponsor and be able to come in and really have an experience. And, you know, it's summertime. It's hot. A little bit of chilled oysters and some champagne. It'll change, you know, any day around and make you leave with a smile on your face.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, so lastly, I wanted to touch base on this one. You also have a wine dinner on August 23rd. You have 5 courses for $99. All right, lay it on me.
Justin Winery, some of the my favorite wines. I've worked with them in the past. Mm-hmm. We kind of have a love relationship, and we're going to be pairing some of our just a very high end classic menu with some incredible wines.
Oh, where do people get tickets for that?
You can call the restaurant directly, and just speak to the host or hostess there, or speak to one of the managers, and book it. Those kind of things are fun for chefs. We can kind of do different things on a regular menu, things we can't do regularly. And there, you know, we're bringing in some great, you know, local artisan cheeses to go with our cheese course for that meal, and some other things are going to be really, really special.
Gotcha. And then the Colts are going to start season here. So you're normally open for dinner, right? Just normally, what time do you open for dinner?
We open at 2:30.
Okay.
So, but for the Colts, we're going to open at 11. Some signature light bites at the bar. You can still have a full dinner menu when you come in. Cool. So, you know, those Colts fans that want to come out and, you know, have a steak before the game or after the game are going to have that ability to do so.
Awesome. So we didn't really talk about where he's located. We'll talk about the building that you're in.
We're actually, it's 14 West Maryland. It's actually an old hotel, so it's got a lot of personality to the building itself. We've got 3 floors, a kind of floating mezzanine level looking over the bar and the main dining room. It has a beautiful table for like 16 people. And then upstairs we have 2 private rooms plus dining. So it's really got a lot of personality to it. And that's something that we really liked about the building when we came to Indy. And now that it's done and finished, it's really, really striking.
I'm sold. All right. So we're going to just drop the mic and go now. I got nothing left. everybody needs to be following you on social media as well, because you guys are doing a great job and being able to share the information and really engaging with your brand loyalists that are checking you out. So certainly go to Red the Steakhouse, but on Twitter, Red Steakhouse, Facebook, Red the Steakhouse, Instagram, Red Steakhouse, as well as at Chef Peter A Vautey, right? Vauthey, and you're burning it up, man. That's fantastic. And the website itself is
redthesteakhouse.com.
Redthesteakhouse.com. So hey, that is perfect branding right there. So you got some great recommendations today on the show, and some great specials that are coming up, and. What are you doing? I know you're relatively brand new into the Indianapolis space. What are you looking at from kind of a community involvement down the road? Because obviously, we've got the different eating events coming up soon. But what else are you looking at from an involvement standpoint?
You know, we've always been really conscious about the events we get involved in the community. I've moved my executive chef here has moved to town. He's become a and so is my general manager. So they're here. You know, I'm traveling in and out to make sure that things are on the up and up. But, we're going to be very involved in the community, whether it's, events or, Devour Indy and things like that. And that's that's the fun stuff for chefs. Doing that is what kind of keeps us going in between, the monotony of something or things going on. So that's the fun stuff for us is as chef and restaurateurs. Cool. And being involved in the community is the best thing for us to do.
Fantastic. Well said. So we're certainly going to watch you grow here in Indianapolis, and thanks so much for everything that you're doing in Indianapolis and bringing the meat regularly. I mean,
we bring the meat. That's for sure.
So check out Red the Steakhouse on a regular basis here, and I think we will. And in fact, somehow we're going to get the entire team down there, maybe in chunks. right? But because we could converge on you with a 20-person shop here.
That's great.
Honestly, Red came out with sliders for the entire staff here. That was just fantastic. And he knew who he was dealing with whenever he came out. So that's awesome. Thank you so much. You did not have to do that. That's
absolutely my pleasure.
That's fantastic. All right, so check out Red the Steakhouse. Thanks so much for being part of the show. You know, we're gonna jump into our next segment here shortly. But you know what? We've got somebody coming up that is now a regular on the show. We've got weird and wacky news coming from Paul Teet. He's on the edge. What's going on here?
Real life, real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet. On the Edge.
Okay, we've got Paul Poteet on the edge wearing his bang up flannel. What's up, man? How you doing?
It's not flannel. I'd be dying in here because you know I'm too cheap to run air conditioning. So it's like 120 degrees in Studio B with these expensive, you know, big video lights on. I can get more comfortable. And, you know, after talking about Red the Steakhouse, you may want to do this with your belt, too.
Yeah, right? I know, but boy, what a beautiful, beautiful thing. Just sliders. To experience all the meats. We got sliders, man!
Now, when you say that the team is going to go down there, do you mean like remote contributors also?
There we go. We will remotely contribute pictures of our meat to you. How about that?
Well, I'll
even tag you in Instagram. How about
you may want to look at a transcript of what you just said.
Yes. Because you definitely said his last name incorrectly.
Wow.
He was at the Dairy Bar, right? You were at the Dairy Bar in this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. The crowds out there. Well, I mean, the weather has been just about perfect. I missed the ice cream eating contest, but so I just was there to help, you know, serve up stuff. You know the size of the milkshakes out there, right? It's like that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They had that ice cream eating contest, and the woman who won had something like 16 and a half of those in 6 minutes.
In 6 minutes. She set a world record.
Yeah, right. I mean, they literally.
That's more than a brain freeze. That's like upper torso freeze.
You lose the top half instantly.
It's a worthwhile cause, but still.
Hey, I had that happen one time in an actual ice cream eating. The only time I've ever had that brain freeze thing. And that was, I was taking it maybe a little too seriously at that point, but it was in the 80s. I did a lot of things I wasn't proud of.
Hey, Paul.
In the 90s. And parts of the OOs, too.
It keeps on going, doesn't it?
Yeah, that seems to be a trend there. But yeah, that looked sounded really good, too. And,
oh my God.
And to follow up on your initial discussion with him, I am a Lutheran medium. Nice. He was discussing, you know, your personal religion and they
cross over. They truly do, and you know,
yeah, that's right. You can't. I can't convert somebody to be, you know, well, you no. know, to be a rare person.
Actually, person. You know what? Funny story is I was I had a friend, some family friends over, and I was cooking steaks on the grill, right? And the wife of one of our friends said, you know, I love things well done. I say not in my backyard. And I served her a medium rare, and she had never experienced a steak like that. And she was agog. And I was like, hey, guess what?
You converted one.
I converted one.
Well,
with deception.
Aaron's barbecue inquisition.
Yeah, I got some visual imagery there that I probably don't want to go down. All right, hey, Paul, before we get started, Brittany wants to say hi. She's not on the segment, but she certainly wants to. She is a cheerleader for Paul Poteet. And
is she at Gen Con right now? You can share with us. I mean, is that what's going on? She's out there lining up early so she doesn't, you know,
that
lose
is
her
funny.
Spot.
Yeah, she's actually shaking her head in the control room right now.
Oh, okay. There's only so many seats out in the main studio, right?
That has me thinking, if she was a character in Gen Con, what would she be? I'm probably going to get myself in trouble right now, so I'm going to stop.
No cosplay on the show today.
No cosplay. All right. Hey, speaking of interesting perspectives, what do you got interesting from the news?
Oh, you want fine food? I mean, you think this, you know, Red the Steakhouse is a big deal. What about the fine delicacy that is fruitcake?
What?
Fruitcake.
Okay, yeah. That thing that nobody really wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing that my mom and dad loved it.
Yeah, you ruined a perfectly good cake with fruit.
I know. Yeah, so, all right. So what's going on with
everyone fruitcake? Says they don't like it, but somebody buys it. It's like Nickelback tickets. But they found a 100-year-old fruitcake in the Antarctic.
What?
It would be easily preserved, you would think, because of the temperatures.
I think it has preservations unto itself.
It may be temperature independent. It probably dates back to the Cape Adare base. There you go. That's the stuff. That's what it was wrapped in. Hmm. It was wrapped in paper and encased in the remains of a tin, T-I-N. Probably dates back to an expedition party from 1910 to 1913. It's been documented that they had taken this particular brand of fruitcake. And I don't know if we can, I think if you scroll down on that or somewhere else on that webpage, they actually show like a little piece of it. And spoiler alert, it didn't look like it was spoiled, you know? It looked like it had made it through just fine. And I couldn't deduce.
Oh, my Lord.
There you go.
There you go. That last one there.
Look at that. Peep right there. And it looks like a fruitcake.
It looks pretty normal. Yeah.
So it doesn't say that anybody actually tried it or not, but it was there.
You know where bets were made.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I dare you.
I dare
Triple
you.
Dog dare you.
Yeah, you go first. No,
oddly enough, I started to get hungry right there. Just looking. I mean, I was prepped with red, but at the same time.
You say that nobody likes it, so fruitcakes.
I got a secret passion for fruitcake.
Something ever
happens.
I got
four kids. I've enforced that food.
You come back to the world someday and there's no humans there, it'll just be fruitcakes and cockroaches. That's all it will be like. It will be a mutually beneficial relationship just between those two groups. So we got 100-year-old fruitcakes.
That's a joke right there. Sorry.
Yeah, why are you guys staring at me? I'm only 50-something. This is a guy from Wisconsin who had a terrible accident with a nail gun. I mean, like the worst kind of accident.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Okay. He lost his footing. He's working over the fireplace. His wife's at church. Donna's at church. Doug's working with a nail gun. I just was bringing the nail gun forward. I was on tiptoes. I didn't have quite enough room. And it fired before I was really ready for it.
Oh.
It dropped down, fired again. 3.5-inch framing nail, like a speeding bullet, went into his heart.
Oh,
okay. You ready? Okay. Once again, I'll say, scroll down, take a deep breath here. Oh, the guy's okay. I want you to know that before you look at that.
Okay.
But that's, there he is, looking like an exhibit from Lowe's, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the thing. He said it didn't really hurt. It just kind of stung. He didn't call 911. He washed up and hopped in his truck, drove down to the emergency room. 12-mile drive that he made to the Bay Area Medical Center up in Wisconsin, Peshtigo, Wisconsin, this guy's from. He leaned over the security guard and said, I've got a nail in my chest.
Oh, my gosh.
It'd be great if you could find somebody to help me out here. I'm just going to sit down. Man, I mean, would you have the presence of mind? There's a man.
Truly. I mean, the fact of the matter that how lucky he was that it didn't get anywhere close, but the fact of the matter, I mean, he probably could have lauded that a little bit more and just kind of walked around.
He could see it pulsating, he said, with his heartbeat, the nail.
But you know what? He gives love a bad name. Get it?
Yeah.
Da 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 da.
You had that cooked up all day long.
Once I saw the article, I was like, Bon Jovi.
You know what you did just now? Nailed it. The doctor said,
I'm not going to do it.
The nail missed a main artery in his heart by the thickness of a piece of paper.
No way.
The main, and he was very astute not to remove it. It says here because he remembered Steve Irwin. And that's what played through his head. Wow. I mean, again, who would have the presence of mind to be going back in your, celebrity death file in your mind? Remove that, because that's what happened to that guy. But
Lord. Oh, wow. Okay.
So just don't panic. Freaky news. That should ever happen to you guys. Don't panic.
For some reason, I think he jinxed me somehow.
No, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Okay, we need something a little gentler now to wrap up with. This guy, this is one of these little viral videos, the things we do for our wives. I mean, really.
I'm saying
This guy, his wife, I guess, gives him grief about his Southern accent. And we'll play a clip of she got him to try to say this ridiculous sentence without his Southern accent. So we'll roll the clip so you can hear him speaking as himself.
Like with an accent, without an accent.
Okay, here we go.
Am I start with accent first?
Yeah.
And do it with his accent.
Just talking normal.
The dog licked the oil and everyone laughed.
Okay, now say it without an accent. Mm.
The dog licked the
oil. Not oil, it's oil. Stop. Right, do over.
All right. The dog licked the oil and everyone laughed.
Now say it in your Southern accent again.
The dog licked the oil and everybody laughed.
See, it's much simpler. Just
in, okay, now in English. Now with
English?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now without an accent.
Oil.
The dog licked the oil and everyone laughed.
He sounds like a phony doing it, though.
The dog licked the oil and everyone laughed.
That's choppy. That's not smooth.
That's better.
Oh my gosh!
You have literally stuck that in my head now, and
why is the dog licking the oil?
Yeah, and everybody laughed,
so they can make diamonds, right?
Well, eventually, with enough pressure, depends on how the dog orders a steak.
Night and dog. Okay, I'm just going to stop there. Wow! All right, the dog.
So there you go. Some of the things we all been talking about online the last few days. My dad's from Dunbar, Virginia. My dad was from Virginia, from the mountains of, you know, like the hill country of Virginia and Kentucky. My mom is from Britain. How am I ending up with this voice?
I have no idea.
I got nothing. I mean, it's like a mutant. Everything canceled itself out. So I got this, you know, just boring, flat voice.
Well, we wouldn't say that. But, you know, hey, you can at least compliment it with some weather.
Yes, I can. And a little look at the eclipse, too.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Look at these next 7 days here. And, of course, Monday is the big day. So we were hoping that, you know, we wouldn't have, like, any big storm on Monday. And that doesn't look to be the case. It looks like it's going to, like today, it's going to be kind of hot and humid again on Monday. We have storm chances, scattered stuff Wednesday afternoon. Thursday looks like a rainy day. It's been, like, the seventh driest start to an August now that we've seen here in Indianapolis after such an active 3 months we'd had before that. But this weekend looks pretty good again, although it's going to get hot and sticky again on Sunday. So looking good on Monday for the eclipse. And I looked, there are interactive maps, and I can send you a link. We can post this where you can get like down to the city block. And at your location right now, where you're broadcasting from, it starts Monday at 12:57 p.m., reaching a maximum at 2:25 p.m. Wow. If you want to schedule your work around that, on
absolutely. Do you have recommendations on where we get those glasses, because the glasses are very important?
I had some friends online that were saying you could still find them like at Lowe's, and I can't remember if it was Menards too, but I know Lowe's, Home Depot, and they need to say, there's a little code on the side. There's three letters,
right?
Not iOS. That's
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They have to be a specific approved eclipse
viewer. And if you go to a place like Lowe's or Home Depot, they are approved. Those two I just remember offhand. But it's a little bit of history, so you might want to invest the whatever. I'm not quite sure how much they cost, but
fantastic. Yeah, they do. And absolutely, we certainly always recommend watching the eclipse with those viewfinders, whatever you want to call them, as opposed to looking directly at the sun and the eclipse. That's the
same
stupid.
It also works when you're watching me, too. The same kind of advice. So.
Don't look directly at the pole.
Yeah, it could damage you.
All right, man. Thanks so much. And we certainly appreciate your contribution regularly. Hey, you're on the edge, but you're keeping it together, right?
I'm right on. You know, that's the trick, you know, in any kind of broadcasting or webcasting. You've got to know where the line is and then just stand right about a quarter of an inch away from it.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, and give us some thoughts about the eclipse next week as well, okay?
Yeah, we'll talk about that, and I'm sure I'll find something else, too, on the edge. Yeah, see you then.
All right. Take care, Paul. All right. Coming up, we are going to be joined by Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, an organization dedicated to engaging diverse communities to create vibrant public places and helping people and nature thrive, as well as Random Acts of Flowers, who is all about improving the emotional health and well-being of individuals in healthcare facilities by delivering recycled flowers, encouragement, and personal moments of kindness. Coming up right after this.
Yeah, my name is David Forsell, and I am the president of Keep Indianapolis Beautiful. The broader mission is that we engage diverse communities to create vibrant places that help people and nature thrive. When you think about the statement, life-sustaining landscapes, we are creative beings that actually want to make a difference for others. And so we are that life that sustains landscapes.
My name is Ned Brockmeyer. I'm a community arborist at Keep Indianapolis Beautiful. Volunteers and donors are essential to KIB. Without them, we couldn't do what we do. I love the people I work with. I love the people that get involved with us.
We wouldn't have much to do at the end of the day if it weren't for the inspiration of people in our community and the desire to volunteer and to give. It'd be a sad state of affairs, I think, for this community. Without that, we'd be really nothing. If people are interested in volunteering at KIB, they should go to kibi.org and also find opportunities to donate. That's the easiest way to get started.
The KIB website's pretty straightforward, and there's an application process right on there. And I just went on the website and filled out. It's a two-page application. I'd recommend you go on the website and fill out that application.
That would be ultimately the hope, that we have capable, educated, informed, caring, connected people that are inspired to do the work whether or not we exist. That would be a pretty cool future.
Okay, hey, we're back. We want to make sure that we introduce another cohort in crime here at Site Strategics. We've got Brittany Simpson, digital marketing strategist, back in the seat. How are we doing?
Hello, good. I leave for one segment and things just go...
They fall apart.
And there's meat and there's...
I know.
Me at Gen Con, apparently. Just yeah. A lot.
How was
on.
That, by the way?
It was great.
What character were you?
I don't know any of them, so...
Can we make some up?
Yep.
Okay. We're going to have a poll in the office tomorrow. If Brittany could be a Gen Con character, what could that be? And I'm going to have Jared, actually, Jared Jewett, our account executive, because he is the local in-house geek. Yeah. You realize that. He'll move mountains on this one.
Yep.
Hey, sorry. This is a private conversation, evidently. I want to introduce some friends of Indianapolis and the show. We've got Abby Dennis, volunteer manager, and Sharia Caldwell, community engagement coordinator, both with Keep Indianapolis Beautiful. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And so if you were to be a Gen Con character, which one would you be? No? Yep. Go ahead and get close to the... Yeah, exactly.
Tell us, what Gen Con character do you identify with the most?
I don't know anything about Gen Con.
I respect that. Abby, what about you?
I'd pick something... That had to do with trees. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, that's a good choice.
That's my closest. I don't know.
Wow.
A tree. What?
We're really.
Nobody's bringing their geek to the game here, ladies.
What would you be?
Huh? Pokemon, probably.
Well, that's not very creative.
Probably not. No. I actually have to pull my kids. I mean, my 17-year-old has this zero day. He'd probably put me in some sort of weird box. I have no idea.
Create a poll for your family, and they can decide what you will be.
Well. Completely disconnected from Indianapolis, but not really. Tell us about keep Indianapolis Beautiful and your mission. Now, you were founded in 1976, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, what's the history behind it?
Well, we started out as a city entity and eventually aligned with Keep America Beautiful and are one of the largest affiliates, but we all focus on trash. And in Indy, we've developed other programming that reflects the needs of the community, and the different programs that both of us work with are specific to litter, tree planting, green spaces, and schools.
Very cool. Very cool. So that's a worthwhile goal, obviously, because any city in the country needs that type of shepherding, that caretaking, because unfortunately, we by human nature, we
are disgusting.
Pretty much. And I mean, it is absolutely imperative. Not to go completely off the rails, but I have a number of sons that are scouts, and part of the principal scout is leave no trace behind. And you literally go into an environment and you make sure that it's actually cleaner than what you had when you got there. You never demonstrate that you were there in the forest or even, you know, on the streets. You go there with a mindset of continual cleaning, right? Well, that's great. That's a great principle, and we teach that. But it's unfortunately just not there in the public general. And you're epitomizing that particular principle. So how do you go about getting that word out? Because it kind of shifts people out of their comfort zone if they actually have to attend to somebody else's trash.
For sure.
Yeah, so one of the main programs that I focus on is the Adopt a Black program,
mm-hmm.
which really engages residents directly from their front door. So we get them to take attention regarding the litter that is on their street, tackle any weeds that may be on that street as mm-hmm. well, or make some reports to the city if there are bigger issues, such as like high weeds or grasses in a particular property
right.
That is vacant. So the program is for any Marion County resident, and we provide tools in order for them to maintain their blocks, such as trash bags, litter grabbers, gloves, shovels, things of that nature.
Public shaming signs for your neighbor? Anything like that?
We have adopt-a-block signs that show that the block is being cared for.
Very good.
So,
if I could have you speak a little bit closer to the mic, because we want to hear your beautiful voice, but you're a bit light-spoken, right?
Okay.
But you carry a big stick.
Right? Is that one of your longest-standing initiatives? Because being around that long, I imagine you've got programs that have been occurring over a long period of time. So is the adopt-a-block one of the oldest ones, or what other ones have been around for quite a while?
So adopt-a-block has been around since 2002.
Okay.
So it is a long-standing program, and we've had probably more than, I don't know, 20,000 people part of the program over that time period.
You're kidding.
Not at all.
20,000?
Right now, we have over 1,000 Black captains in Marion County. So
that is incredible.
That is amazing. Wow. So, I mean, the history is fantastic. You've been a staple of the community for such a long time, right? You've got some fantastic long-standing initiatives that are happening. So there's a lot of community-oriented programs that try to help out. And we spoke to one lady that brings bee shelters around all these different city areas, right? What makes Keep Indianapolis Beautiful so special? How do you keep that message going for such a long time?
Yeah, I think you're right. We have Adopt Block, Great Indy Cleanup's been around a long time.
Yeah.
We've been planting trees a long time. I think one thing that makes KIB unique is that our projects are requested by the community.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people care about where they live, either in terms of the community or the environment. A lot of us can latch onto that no matter where we are in the city. And then once you can get those resources into your community to make change, be it any one of those programs, a lot of people are compelled to support our fellow residents who are trying to make our city better collectively. And
yep.
So we have ways for people to get involved as partners, as those applicants, but as well as volunteers who maybe aren't plugged into a neighborhood or don't find anything appropriate for their community at the time, but they still want to contribute and get involved with all the improvement activities that we're happy to help facilitate.
When you say you work heavily with the community, you are not lying. You've partnered with both Butler and Indiana University. Can you tell us about your partnerships there and kind of what you've been doing for them? Because you've been featured as international research as well, some of the work that you've done. Is that right?
Yeah, we've worked with both those universities with our green spaces and our trees to study the cross between health and the environment, so human health and well-being in relation to green space, in relation to caring for trees, the ways that there are mutual benefits for both sides. And we're happy to get to be a part of both of those things.
Well, that's fantastic. And you're also teaching collegiate students, you know, what it means to be citizens of the community. Let me ask you something regarding kind of some unexpected type of results whenever you bring communities together to be able to take care of their environment. Because we know centralization and community spirit has kind of not diluted, but people have receded. And whenever I grew up, everybody knew everybody on the block, right? And you could go out. My wife has stories of her going on a big wheel and getting a packed lunch, and she wouldn't be back until 6 o'clock. And the entire community knew where she was. They knew they were taking care of each other's kids as well as the environment, right? We don't have that anymore. We have a disconnected. I mean, I in my own neighborhood, I just don't know who's down three houses down from me, right? It's not. There's not that community spirit. There's not that pride in where we collectively live, right? I mean, that's unfortunate, and it's pervasive. You're an organization that helps counter that by an investment in beautifying the environment. But do you find, there's a long-winded statement here, but do you find that you are able to find some connections with people that started getting involved, that you can bring them back to the hearth, so to speak, of the community and neighborhood by neighborhood? Do you find that there's a relationship that you're building there?
I would say that that statement's not totally true. I think that there is a bit of cohesion and community spirit that's in a lot of the neighborhoods. Uh-huh. It just hasn't been tapped into as far as the resources that are available.
Okay.
So once people are aware of Keeping Indianapolis Beautiful and the fact that we have connections with providing dumpsters and we have supplies and right. things like that, a lot of times the residents, they come with a lot of their other neighbors. And they're ready to do cleanups, and they're contacting us like once a month to do different things. And they're asking us, they're asking me specifically to come in community meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
And they're having block parties or cookouts and things. So I really think it depends on the neighborhood.
Yep.
But a lot of the neighborhoods that I've gone to, they do have a pretty good community presence.
Wow.
They just don't really have the tools to organize and make it happen. So then they come to us and we provide those tools.
Can you come to my neighborhood then?
Absolutely.
Because I got a bunch of.
You've got a lot of kids that can help too.
I do. I got an entire workforce
Let's
right there.
Let's put them to work.
if we give them some trash bags and gloves, I'm sure they do it.
They would. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I'm certain that you know, I don't have a full flavor of community disconnect, but I mean, there is need, I
Absolutely.
Think, for these type of programs to be able to bring the heart back to individual neighborhoods.
Well, and it makes a lot of sense too, because you know, if it's a really nice day and you think like I'm going to go out and do something productive and meaningful, you probably only have one shovel, one pair of gloves, whatever. And if you want to get your friends or family involved, it sounds like connecting with your organization would be a great way to do that. Because who wants to go out and buy six shovels when you can just utilize you all and kind of get the resources you need for that day, for that moment, for that project?
Right. And we have the Great Indy Cleanup is a really great program that we have that really gets a bunch of residents together on a particular day, a day of their choice, to do a Great Indy Cleanup. So it could be between 10 and 30 or even more. We have our larger Great Indy Cleanup, which is happening October 21st, and it's in the Kennedy King neighborhood. And we usually get around 100 volunteers to help out in those larger cleanups, because the neighborhoods may have some illegal dumping. There's some other beautification efforts that'll take place as far as tree plantings.
Oh, wow.
And then also native plantings as well. Everything that we plant is native. But it's a full beautification and aesthetics effort within a particular neighborhood. So neighbors can get together and sign up to get that to get those cleanups happening in their area.
That's a fantastic thing. Your team has six core values that really stick out to us here at Site Strategics. Can you walk through those values for us?
Sure. Let's see. If you don't know all of them, we have them
in
front
of
us too.
This is not a test.
This is good. I think internally and externally, they embody a lot of what we think
is important. Mm-hmm. The one that comes to mind first to me is balance. Our staff is a busy staff, but the impression that we get from every side is that we should, not work too much. We should have strong relationships at home and be involved in the community on our own. But also, you know, when we're supporting neighbors in the community, we want there to be balance in terms of the support that they feel, the improvements that are being made, the mm-hmm. involvement and things like that. We exhibit a lot of teamwork in order to get all that stuff done. What are your favorite ones, Shreya?
See how she did that?
That was great. She's like, I can name two.
No, I think I know most of them. But I think when it comes to me, what's important to me also is balance as well as responsibility. And also the, I would say the important thing about responsibility is taking the ownership of a particular program and making sure that I give that information to residents who may not be aware of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who call and say, you know, we have graffiti that's on a particular abandoned building that's in our neighborhood, and we've contacted, you know, various entities and we haven't heard back. Well, we have a graffiti free program that a lot of people may not know about, and we have paint available, you know, paint brushes and everything. So being able just to take that additional initiative to help some of the residents in the area to take care of what that's been bothering them for a long time. And then I also agree with balance, just because we do have a lot of programs that are taking place. We within the Adopt a Black program, we also have Adopt a Black schools, Adopt a Black businesses, and then we have IPL Green Space, you know, so we have lots of programs that are touching the city in very different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
The Adopt a Black Schools program, it really engages the youth, just like you were saying with your son, being a Boy Scouts, to be a young steward of their environment.
Absolutely.
So really taking ownership of their educational space. And then the Adopt a Black Business Program is an opportunity for businesses around the city to be a sponsor. And it's a $250 contribution, but they also have the same responsibilities as a Black captain.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So if an organization is listening, I know Aaron perked up and looked over at me because we're obviously going to do this. Because we're obviously sold on this idea.
Yep.
What is the process for getting involved with any of the Adopt Anything? How do people get through that process?
So you can either go on our website, which is KIBI.org, and you would just go to our page that talks about beautification and creative placemaking and all that. And then also you could contact me at the office. You can call and just ask for Shreya. I'm the community engagement coordinator. I'd be happy to come out to any programs you may have in the neighborhood, or you can come into our office to pick up supplies, whatever works for you.
Awesome.
So on the screen right here, and I'm sorry for our audio listeners because you can't see that. Better just jump into the live screen.
Close your eyes and imagine it.
It's KIBI.org. And there's also ways to volunteer, /volunteer/ways to volunteer. So you can check out all that. I'm actually going to jump in and do something completely off script.
Okay, this is terrifying.
Brace yourself. I'm already nervous.
I'm already sorry. Go on.
All right. So we have Edge of Indie fans. I want to actually rally the Edge of Indie fandom and actually start putting together an Adopt a Block for Edge of Indy.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to be able to work out a matching contribution one way, shape, or form. We're going to get some funds going, and I want to be able to set up a landing page where we can actually get our Edge of Indy submissions, so we can actually recognize our fans of who wants to be part of the Adopt a Block, and we're going to actually work with you guys. Pick out wherever that is, be able to connect with you, and let's set up an Edge of Indy. I mean, the best thing that we could possibly do is put our money where our mouth is, and we are certainly invested in Indianapolis, and this would be a fantastic way to get our listeners and our audio listeners, as well as our live stream listeners, to be able to participate, and we certainly want to recognize those participations. And I'll also give it another challenge. I want to challenge some of the other marketing firms here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, do it. You won't do it.
Yeah, exactly. You all do it. What's up with that? What? And we want to see some other marketing firms out here be able to step up, and even radio firms, you know, radio stations. Come on, let's go out there and
Paul Poteet, I'm talking to you.
You know, this is actually
you talk some smack whenever he's not here, right?
Kind of, yeah.
This is great because we have you guys heard of the It's My City initiative?
No.
So Mayor Hawk said he helped launch it. Mm-hmm. So it was so back in the day, I don't remember the year, but Mayor Hugnut, he had introduced the Hugnut Hook, where he was tossing the trash into the basket.
I remember that.
Sorry, what was that again? Show me again. Okay.
So I just got my MJ on for you for a second.
Thank you so much. I was wondering.
And so Mayor Hogsett has reintroduced that initiative. So one of the things that that we have been a part of is the It's My City campaign. So people mm-hmm. can really have ownership of the city, taking care of it. And this is the year of making it clean. So if you hashtag It's My City, you can go to the website as well. So that challenge that you all just made,
yep.
I would say getting everybody involved and getting them to take ownership of their city. So that's great. We appreciate that.
No, absolutely. Well, let's figure out how we're going to do this. And obviously, I tend to surprise myself on a regular
Always
basis.
Always a surprise with
but,
you.
But, I mean, this is real. And, mm-hmm. and we absolutely need to get involved here. So we are actually going to put a formal challenge out there to different marketing firms, different media outlets to be able to jump into this. And let's bring the edge to making Indianapolis beautiful. Can we do that?
We can do it.
Absolutely. So you're going to help us work through this, right?
I will.
All right.
Because the thing is, and I think everyone needs to remember this, so often we get into our routines and our habits and, like, you know, that tunnel vision where we're just living life and doing what mm-hmm. we do. And so often we're passing, like you said, you know, trash and graffiti and all kinds of things, and we think like, oh, somebody else is going to take care of it, and right. nobody is going to.
No, they're not.
We need to do it.
You got to
If you really
it.
Want it done, then find a way to get it done, and this is a great way to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have a couple other events coming up right in front of us. Man, you guys have so much going on. You guys are busy. You've got Thrive coming up mm-hmm. on September 9th, and the Kennedy King Great Indie Cleanup on October 21st. Can you give us a scoop on those and how we can participate?
Sure. The Thrive fundraiser is our annual fundraiser, and we'll be at Circle City Industrial Complex this year celebrating transformation.
Sweet. Great.
And it'll be a great event.
That's a place that's transforming. That's exactly. for darn sure.
Yeah. So we're happy to be there and to showcase all the things going on there, as well as with our organization.
Fantastic.
And then on October 21st is our large-scale Great Indie Cleanup project for the year. The neighbors of Kennedy King have applied for assistance, and we'll be looking for outside volunteers to help the neighbors in doing those beautification projects that Shreya mentioned.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, thank you both, ladies, to be on the show and participate in this. And it's a great honor to be able to even work with you guys and tell your story. But I really do think this is a place that we can really help and get the word out.
We can get our hands dirty. We can do it.
Absolutely.
And we have gloves, so you don't have
exactly.
to worry
about
getting
too dirty. Exactly. I don't even have to. So you just have to get, I have to get your gloves dirty, so right. I can do that.
Exactly. For those that are frail and little tiny snowflakes out there, we got you covered. We use all the tools. Just come out and be part of it. All right, here's how you can connect with them. Keep Indianapolis Beautiful on Twitter at KIBI.org. Facebook is KIBI.org, and Instagram is KIBI.org. Fantastic branding there. Excellent.
Strong.
Any final words regarding keeping Indianapolis Beautiful?
I think so. We're just happy to be, you know, here to get to work with the community, and check out our website. There are lots of resources available for people all over Marion County.
So we all right. Hey, that's right. I mean, the point is, guys, is that it's our job. It's our job to keep clean. So don't walk past a piece of trash. Don't step around it. Take your time, pick it up. And if you can get involved in organizations like this, and on top of that, you know, just being a citizen, bring your neighbors and go make a Saturday of it to go do something to invest in your community. I mean, that's what these ladies are doing on a regular basis. It's a great program, a great operation, and they have our best interest in heart, and you better believe we need to continue to make Indianapolis beautiful. So thank you so much. We're going to jump into our next segment, our final segment, and it's directly tied into this about Random Act of Flowers, a team dedicated to inspire and nurture a culture of care and compassion. So stick around and hear about what you can do to help. Well, this was such a tedious investment in the Indianapolis community. We wanted to really
help NX3 shine. It's a fantastic opportunity to be able to bring Site Strategics and everything that we've been able to grow to be here over the last few years, and then plug into the community, be able to help, be able to support a number of brands that are here. But more importantly, really, it's a gathering for our team to really just get out of the office and just have some fun together. A lot of times, we're working so hard that we don't see a lot of the tech startup community. And this is exactly why we moved downtown, is to be able to have that connection. And this was a great platform to be able to really roll out what we do. Last year was the year of pivot. I mean, we left the South Side, knew that we had to be downtown in Indianapolis just because of the technology scene. And on top of that, we tripled our footprint, our square foot footprint downtown to make room for our live cast studio, as well as be able to expand into a much larger collaborative space for all our employees. Our role in the tech community is going to take off like a rocket ship. It honestly is, we look to help give lift to so many companies with our digital marketing tactics, as well as our studio, to be able to paint the picture, tell the why story of so many of these organizations. We've got a great team of videographers, be able to, podcast technology that is surpassing almost everybody in the country. And I'm really proud of this convergence of skills and technology to help tell a story for all of these other companies. We have organically grown, and we are now bringing a great number of really sharp people into our organization, because it's time to do that now. And with everything that we've been able to invest in from skill sets and technology, we are now really able to tell our own story as well as so many other companies. And I got a lot of pride in who is part of this organization now. I'm proud of each and every individual that works for Site Strategics. There's no way I could have ever done this without a good deal of blessings and a good deal of really caring people to get us to this degree. And I'm just so excited about what we're about to do. The next couple of years is just gonna be fantastic.
I'm Hoosier proud because we've legitimately named a town after Santa Claus. We have the most memorials and monuments outside of Washington, D.C. And no event can even come close to the 500. Because within our borders, we have farmland that helps feed the nation, industry that powers it, and technology that helps drive the future. Because Hoosier breaded tenderloin is out of this world. Because we have multiple cities who have high school basketball gyms that contain more people than the population of the city itself. And because of that, we're better at producing NBA players than any other state. I'm Hoosier proud because we raised the greatest United States president, not you, Illinois. I know that within an hour drive, I can find a state park, and if I want a more urban feel, I can go to Fort Wayne, Evansville, or Indy for that small city friendly feel with that big city culture. I'm Hoosier proud because we do fairs better than anybody else, and Hoosier hospitality is not merely a phrase. I'm Hoosier proud. Are you?
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
Okay, hey, we're wrapping up our acts of kindness here at Edge of Indy today. We had the kindness of steak, and we also had keeping America, keeping Indianapolis beautiful, and that's an incredible level of kindness. And now we have random acts of kindness, actually random acts of flowers. We have Lindsay Potter, Program Director of Random Acts of Flowers. How are we doing today?
I'm so great, thank you. How are you?
I am.
He had steak. He's pretty good.
Right. I've been watching. I've been giggling. It seems like things are going okay for you.
I'm in a good place right
yeah.
now.
Good.
I didn't finish my steak, but I'm anticipating. I might have something on my desk.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. I mean, there are a bunch of carnivores over there, yeah. So I don't know what's going on. I know Brittany actually recently connected with you guys at the Indie Hub Indie Evolved event and was immediately touched by what you can do. Can you give us an overview of what you do at Random Act of Flowers?
Yeah, so you've spouted out the mission a couple times, so I won't put that out there. But what we do is really simple.
Do I regularly spout?
A little bit. That seemed like an aggressive word as soon as it came out of my mouth. Our mission is really simple. So we're in the business of making human connections and in the business of being sustainable. So mm-hmm. to put those two things together, we take flowers that have either served their intended purpose, like flowers you'd see at a wedding, at a funeral, at a large event, or flowers that can't be sold for whatever reason. There are lots of flowers at a wholesaler or at grocery stores that just don't get sold. And instead of allowing those to go into the garbage, we take them back to our shop. We have volunteers that fix them up, give them a fresh cut, put them into new arrangements, and we deliver them to hospitals, nursing homes, and hospice facilities here in Indianapolis. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, bless your heart. I mean, that's fantastic.
It is a good time.
Huh.
You focus so much on like the recycled element. I mean, you're not just like going out and buying flowers and putting them in vases. You really rely on people and their donations to really make that happen.
We do.
How do you manage to reduce, reuse, recycle all those things? How do you do that?
So you would be amazed at how many flowers get tossed and how beautiful they really are, especially once you give them a little TLC. So we mm-hmm. have partnerships with different entities throughout the city. So we work with McNamara, Marvin's Wholesale, Kennicott Brothers Wholesale. We're also lucky enough to be sponsored by FTD Pro Flowers, and they have a distribution center in Richmond that all of their flowers that they can't sell. But here in the community, you know, we work with Flanner and Buchanan Funeral Homes. We work with Kroger. We have 23 Kroger stores that donate flowers that instead of taking their flowers that have a sell-by date on them that they are forced to discard, instead of those going to the garbage, they give them to us. It's amazing how many flowers would otherwise end up in the garbage.
Yeah. And yeah, I've seen that. I mean, just by their practice, there's so much of that's, it's not trash, obviously, but I mean, they've got their policies and you're there to be able to help them recycle them. So you recycle 100% of the arrangements, the ribbons, the wire, the foam, everything from vases to flowers, all the flowers, right?
That's right. And anything that we can't use, because there are certain flowers that just really are past any kind of bringing anyone joy. Right.
When they die, they die.
they die, and there's no resuscitating them past a certain point. But with those, we compost. Use a composting service, Green with Indy. So we don't just rescue it from Kroger's garbage and put it in our own if it happens to be that we can't use them. All of our arrangements come in donated vases as well. Vases are made out of a glass that's meant to be multi-use, so mm-hmm. they're not recyclable. Because people can't recycle them, they toss them or they sit in their basements and collect dust. So all of our arrangements come in a donated vase. We don't purchase any vases. We go through about 300 to 400 vases per week.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, so your impact is being, that's huge. Your impact is being felt throughout the city. In fact, in only 10 months of operation in Indy, you've actually delivered more than, get this, everybody, 14,000 floral arrangements to patients in Indy hospitals, nursing homes, and hospice facilities.
That's correct.
That's 14,000.
That's with three zeros.
Yes, 14,000. Wow. Indianapolis is really a perfect storm for random acts of flowers. We have a great floral community that I've already mentioned, but we have lots of people to serve in these large healthcare networks that exist in Indianapolis. So if we have the flowers and we have the volunteers, there are plenty of people that we can serve. And just a wonderful philanthropic and volunteer community that has come together to really take us from 0 to 60 here mm-hmm. in Indy very mm-hmm. quickly.
And you really think about it, who doesn't, I mean, it can change your entire day if you are to receive any amount of flowers from anybody. But when you think about completely like random drop-offs, if mm-hmm. if you're a senior citizen in a home, if whatever the case may be, to get handed this beautiful thing of flowers that you were not expecting and that was made with such love, mm-hmm. that has to be rewarding for those delivery teams. That has to be like the most fulfilling thing in the world.
It is. And I joke whenever I talk to people, because people always ask, how do you decide who gets the flowers? And there are a lot of different ways. We really look to our healthcare partners to really determine who should get the flowers. And sometimes it's not someone who doesn't have flowers or doesn't have visitors. But I always say there isn't anybody that can't benefit from a member of their community coming in. It's not their doctor or nurse who's paid to do so. It's not their family who has to like them.
Right.
It's someone from the community walking in and saying, saying, we know you're having a hard time. You know, it's the actual person doing the delivery, but it's everyone who's gone into it. The person, the organization that donated the flowers, the person that did the arrangement, the financial sponsors that got us in the door, that really went into making sure that every person who's going through any sort of need for healthcare knows that they're not alone in our community.
Oh, that's a fantastic sentiment. And everybody who's working in your organization must just feel great doing this.
It is. It's not a difficult job to like, that's for sure. Right now we only have two staff members, but other than that, we're entirely volunteer run. And I think all of our volunteers enjoy doing it just as much as the recipients enjoy receiving the flowers.
You have an event coming up, Flowers After Hours. Can you tell us about that?
Sure.
It sounds like my kind of jam. So.
Yeah. One of our struggles is that because of the needs of our healthcare partners, most of our volunteer shifts take place Monday through Friday during the business day. So there are lots of people who really are gravitate towards our mission and want to support our mission, but have jobs, so they can't come help us do the flowers during the week. Mm-hmm. So what we've started to do, and this is our first time, we're doing a Flowers After Hours event. So think wine and canvas, but with flowers. So we will invite in a florist from the community to do a special training session on a certain type of floral arranging. Then you'll have some time to do arranging. We do operate it as a make, take, and leave. So the participants will make an arrangement that they can take home to enjoy, but any other additional arrangements they make will be donated to our mission. So we'll be able to use those on a delivery. We'll have snacks. We have it's a BYOB situation, so it's we're really or a BYOW situation. And it's just a fun way. It happens from 5 to 8 p.m. on August 31st. Mm-hmm. You can purchase tickets on our website. And we're really excited to be able to share the mission with people who might not necessarily be our typical volunteer base.
Very good. Very good.
I'll be there.
Hey, it's a fantastic opportunity, and you're always in need of two things, vase donations as well as companies to sponsor your delivery cards. So what can we do to help you there other than getting the word out here in Edge of Indy?
Yeah, it's part of what I talked about, those entities that go into the delivery. Each of our deliveries, each of our arrangements comes with a delivery card attached to it that has our name, our mission, our contact information, but on the back, it has the logo of a local company that has sponsored the delivery. So organizations, companies, anybody who wants to be associated and affiliated with the goodwill of the organization, who really believes in the mission, can sponsor those deliveries. $1,000 can sponsor an entire month of deliveries. So everybody who gets those flowers and their family and friends get to see that this company that they know of in the community has been part of their gift.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, final notes here. Are you looking for volunteers? I think we have one right here.
I'm in. I'll do it. Okay.
Right. We do. We do new volunteer info sessions every 2 weeks. Right now, we have our greatest need by far in terms of volunteer help is people to do floral pickups for us. We get flowers from Kroger stores all over the city, and sometimes getting those in the doors is half the battle. So, and it's an easy commitment for people, but we do. We have volunteers that prep flowers, clean our space for us because it looks like a flower bomb exploded at the end of the week, and even doing arranging and delivering. So
I think we have a picture of some of
them. That's our team.
I love it.
They are awesome.
Those are so my people. I'll be there soon.
You lost the balloon.
That balloon has been up there since the end of April. It is a super balloon.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic.
It's like your mascot.
Poor little balloon. It kind of freaks me out.
So here's how you can connect with Random Acts of Flowers on Twitter, RNDM Acts of FLWRS. We'll throw that on the show notes, Random Acts of Flowers. And on Facebook, you can certainly look them up at Random Acts of Flowers. Do we have a website as well?
Yes. Our specific indie one is rafindy.org.
Okay. And we also have on the screen there, Indianapolis.randomactsofflowers.org as well.
Yep.
Cool. So Instagram, RAF Indianapolis. So there's all the places, all the socials.
All the places. All the things.
Fantastic. Yep. Well, we wish you the best here. We'll certainly lift up everything that you're doing inside social, because I mean, are you able to take pictures and connect with people that are receiving these flyers? I mean, obviously you have to be respectful in certain scenarios.
Right. There are, you know, lots of regulations in terms of keeping people's healthcare needs private.
Absolutely.
But whenever we have those permissions, yeah, we love to capture the faces of the people receiving the flowers. There's not anything really like it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I mean, keep up the good work, and what a great,
thank you,
great opportunity. And we certainly implore everyone to jump in and volunteer if you want to do something that just completely brightens your day. Right.
That's right.
Not that you're doing it selfishly, but boy, what a great amenity is being able to bring light and love to someone's day who, I mean, they're going to be having some problems, and you can actually get out there and be able to make something happen in their day that they otherwise would not have. And on top of that, it makes you feel pretty darn good as well.
And you'll smell good afterward, too.
It does smell good, too. That's correct.
Oh, I bet. I bet there's some perfumes going on in there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
We really appreciate it. And thanks for being on the show.
We're happy to be here. Thank you.
No worries. All right. That's it for another version, another round of Edge of Indy. And I appreciate everybody coming to bear here. I certainly love keeping Indianapolis beautiful, and Random Acts of Flowers, as well as Red the Steakhouse. Got to check that out. It sounds like they got something going on over there as well. So as we say on the show, thanks so much, Brittany and Tom.
Thanks.
Tom just left the building.
Maybe he's at Gen Con.
Yeah, okay. We can do that too. What would be your favorite Gen Con character if you were one? Anyway. So we say this regularly. Hey, make sure that you choose local, and choose local often, because there's so much going on in Indianapolis, and we certainly want to lift up everybody and everything that's happening here. So take time out of your busy schedule to be able to connect with one of these organizations, as well as the organizations we've shared with in the past. And go look at our shows, because there's a great number of people that we've interviewed here at Edge that we really want you to pay attention to. So thanks so much, and we'll see you next week on Edge of Indy. Bye-bye.